Well, today as the season of Lent is winding down and Holy Week is fast approaching, our readings speak about resurrection. And no, we aren't skipping ahead to Easter and Christ's resurrection, but we are anticipating it. The gospel reading for this morning, of course, recounts an event that took place shortly before the events of Christ's triumphal entry into Jerusalem and all the events leading up to his passion and crucifixion. It recounts for us the raising of Lazarus from the dead, and this amazing miracle, of course, reveals what Jesus is capable of, just what kind of power he has, and it also foreshadows what he himself would do in just a short time. And the passage, of course, records for us those beautiful words, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, even though he dies, yet shall he live, and whoever lives and believes in me shall never die." These words are held on to as some of the dearest treasures in the Bible. We regularly read them at funerals, at committals, because these words of our Lord provide us comfort and hope in the face of death. Now, similarly, in the Old Testament reading, Ezekiel is given a vision about a resurrection that would give hope to Israel in the midst of great despair. Now, maybe you heard those words and were thinking they sound familiar, and if so, it's probably from that old spiritual, dem bones, dem dry bones. Yes, it's based on Ezekiel 37, and it's probably, makes this passage probably the most well-known in the book of Ezekiel. Our Wednesday morning Bible class just spent months studying the book of Ezekiel, and there are a few highlights in there, and this, of course, is one of them that stands out. But if you want to understand what these words are really all about, you need to consider why these words are giving comfort to Israel. You need to understand what's going on with Israel at the time in which they're spoken. You have to consider the position that Israel is in. To put it bluntly, the nation of Israel is dead and gone. The northern tribes of Israel have been defeated by the Assyrians for 150 years. Now, in the days of Ezekiel the prophet, the southern tribes had also fallen. Jerusalem was conquered and laid in waste. And her inhabitants were taken into captivity in Babylon. And if you take a look at the ancient world, this is how nations disappear. One nation wipes out another, and their existence is only recorded in the annals of the conquerors, or it's discovered centuries later when it's dug up by an archaeologist. And this is what Israel was looking to become, just another name on the long list of unknowns and forgotten peoples. But now the prophet Ezekiel, prophesying some 10 years after the fall of Jerusalem, received a vision wherein the nation of Israel is like a great boneyard, one in which the bones are very dry. In other words, not just dead, but long dead. And in the midst of this vision, the prophet is asked this question, "Son of man, can these bones live?" Now, the obvious answer to this question, to anybody paying attention and seeing what they see in front of them, is no. No, these things can't live. Are you kidding me? They're not just dead. They're long dead and gone. There's no reasonable expectation that old, dry bones can come to life again. And, you know, in the gospel reading, you have this same sort of skepticism. You recall how Martha objected to the opening of Lazarus's grave because she says, look, the body's been in there 4 days. Bodies don't come to life after 4 days. They rot and they stink. So the same way, dry bones aren't going to come to life any more than Lazarus is going to come to life. But Ezekiel knows the person who's putting this question to him. It's the Lord himself, the Lord of life. And he knows that with him, all things are possible. So instead of going with the obvious answer, Ezekiel hedges a bit and says, Lord God, you know, you alone know. And the Lord proceeded to enliven the bones. First, he tells Ezekiel, prophesy over the bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. And the prophet proclaims the word of God, and the bones rattle and come together, and they're covered with sinews and flesh and skin. But there's still no breath in them. So now Ezekiel is told to prophesy to the breath. Now, I have to do an aside here. This is where we're really being cheated by our English translations, and there's just no way around it, because in Hebrew and in Greek, you have this phenomenon where one word is translated into three words in English. The same word in Hebrew, it's ruach, and in Greek, it's pneuma, but that word means wind, breath, or spirit. And the idea is simple. It's like this, that if you have a living body, you have breath, right? And breath is, you know, like wind. If there's no wind or no breath, the body's dead. There's no spirit in it, right? So here's the connection between these three things. But in these texts, it is one word that's being translated all over here as breath, wind, and spirit. And this is why in some English translations, you will see the translator making different choices. Some will say that Ezekiel is now told to prophesy to the spirit. At any rate, this one word is all the same in the original. So when the Lord tells his prophet to prophesy to the breath, Ezekiel moves from preaching to praying. Now he calls on the spirit. And in a scene that's reminiscent of the creation of man in Genesis, where God puts the breath of life into Adam, so too the Ruach comes and brings the bodies to life. And the former boneyard now appears to be a great army standing on its feet. It's a magnificent vision, right? But what does it all mean? Well, the Lord himself explains it to Ezekiel. He says, "Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say our bones are dried up and our hope is lost. We are indeed cut off. Therefore prophesy and say to them, thus says the Lord God, behold, I will open your graves and raise you from your graves, O my people. And I will bring you into the land of Israel, and you shall know that I am the Lord when I open your graves and raise you from your graves, O my people. And I will put my spirit within you, and you shall live, and I will place you in your own land. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. I have spoken, and I will do it, declares the Lord." So against all common sense and with all the evidence to the contrary, the Lord will make alive that which is dead. Israel will continue. God will rescue his people. Even though they disregarded his covenant, even though he has punished them, he's not forgotten them. He'll bring them up from the grave. He'll give them his spirit. They will live. He'll keep his promise made to Abraham to make this people into a great nation through whom all people on earth will be blessed. And because the Lord has said it, it is as good as done. Now, that's the meaning of Ezekiel's prophecy, and from it, we can see how captives and exiles in the centuries before Christ would have been encouraged and comforted. But what about us? I mean, what can we learn from this ancient prophecy? Well, let me share with you a few things I came across in my study of this, and you can ponder them and keep these things in mind. First, this prophecy is first and foremost about the resurrection of a nation. You know, Christians have since ancient times looked at these words and seen in them an allusion to the resurrection at the last day and the resurrection of all flesh, right? When the Lord will call forth all people from the graves. But that isn't what this is primarily about. What it is truly about is God keeping his promise to Israel and how though she seemed as good as dead, God would bring Israel back to life. He would return his people to Jerusalem before the birth of Christ. And as it turned out, this didn't happen right away. God's word was fulfilled, but it took centuries. It took a good deal of time, but it happened in God's own time and way. But here's the thing. This promise wasn't just kept only for the Jews. This promise was kept also for you. You see, the Lord had to bring Israel back so that a virgin could conceive and give birth to a son in the city of David. It was necessary for all these things to happen so that a temple could be rebuilt in Jerusalem, so that Jews from all over would go there to celebrate the Passover, and when Christ entered in, they would receive him in a triumphal entry and greet him with hosannas, and then ultimately that they would carry him outside the walls of that city to a cross where he would lay down his life for the sins of the world. Simply put, the Lord raised the nation from the dead in Babylon so that he might raise you from the dead on account of what Christ would do for you and for us all. Second, God does it all. Dry bones can't make themselves alive. It's only the Lord who gives them life. For Israel, this meant that God would restore them. He would make them a nation again. It wouldn't be their own effort, their own doing, but it would be the working of God who took what was dead and made it alive. And the same is true with you and me. God does it all. By the working of the Holy Spirit, He calls us to believe. He breathes new life in us. As we say in the Creed, He is the Lord and giver of life, who will bring us to the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Or, as we heard also in the words of the epistle this morning, you, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if in fact the Spirit of God dwells in you. Anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to Him, but if Christ is in you, although the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. If the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. Third, because of our Lord Jesus Christ, God's word that resurrects a nation in Ezekiel is for you too. Not as a nation, but as an individual. Because Christ has died for your sins and is risen again, the Lord promises to you, I will open your graves, O my people, and I will bring you to the promised land of heaven. And you shall know that I am the Lord when I open your graves and raise you from the grave, O my people. And I have put my Spirit within you, and you shall live, and I will place you in heaven forever. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. I have spoken, and I will do it, declares the Lord. And this is the greatest comfort that you have as a Christian, that by the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, He has conquered sin and death. And because He is the resurrection and the life, He too will raise us up on the last day. And this is a comfort for you, not only when you face your own death, but also as you grieve the death of a loved one who has died in the faith. The Lord comforts us and fills us with hope in the face of death by promising to raise us up again and give life without end. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.